It's Wednesday, December 16th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get to the many stories we're covering today, I want to give you an update on a story that I covered on Friday about the dispensary in South Whittier, California that had to close down because it was too close to a McDonald's play place. I kind of made the point how the McDonald's and the dispensary were separated by 583 feet, and yet between the two of them, there was an adult nightclub called Animal Crackers. Well, I got an email today from a listener who lives near the area, and he had some very interesting comments. He says he lives less than 5 minutes walking distance from that dispensary, and it took me forever to find it. That particular co-op was one of the most well-hidden shops I know of. No signs, no ads in the weekly papers, no green crosses, nothing. Animal Crackers, named for the Marx Brothers film, not the snack, let me in their doors and served me when I was only 20, never asking for an ID. Between that bar and the McDonald's is a smoke shop where they sell tobacco, porno, pipes, swords, and knives, also to underage kids. So yes, of course, naturally, it's the medical marijuana dispensary that has to get closed. Oh, the hypocrisy of this just keeps me going on these cold winter months. Also, a couple stories up on the Stash blog. Check it out at stash.normal.org of celebrity tokers. High Times magazine, of course, featured Alanis Morissette crediting marijuana for creativity. I'd have to agree with that after writing over 3,000 blog posts about how marijuana potency doesn't matter. But also, rapper Lil Wayne, was in the news here. He, is having trouble selling his apartment in Miami, because of the weed smell that's, infused all throughout the apartment. Come on, Lil Wayne, just slap a coat of paint on it. It'll be all right. Get on it, man. Also wanted to mention a poem we have up on the Stash blog. You might have to go to the second page by now of The Night Before Christmas, for us cannabis consumers, I suppose. Cute little poem that was posted by Mississippi Hippie. And we have our new music editors who I think are doing a fabulous job bringing us a great diversity of music. I just want to let you know that if you have any suggestions for tunes to be played or can forward us MP3s of your band's material, go ahead and send them to stash@normal.org. I'll send them on to the team of music editors, and if they decide to play it, we'll post it on the Stash. Now, coming up in today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your cannabis community calendar, and then we go on to your hemp headlines, where we'll take a look at the John Ray Wilson case in New Jersey, then a look at the state of Maine, which is trying to adopt new medical marijuana regulations, and some new reefer madness from that report on teens and cigarette smoking and how more kids are smoking pot than cigarettes. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you today by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers, we are going to be hearing Linval Thompson and his song, I Love Marijuana. And we'll not be having our regular cannabis science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine this week. He's enjoying the holidays back in New York. So I'm going to be playing an interview for our normal newsmakers with Miko Hester Perez. She's the young mother who's treating her autistic son with medical marijuana, and she was featured on Good Morning America. We also played this interview on the Normal Show Live last weekend. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Roll me something fat and long. Pack me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. On Thursday, December 17th, Philly Normal will be having their open meeting at the A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue. They meet on the first and third Thursdays of each month at 7:30 p.m. For more details, check out phillynormal.org. On Friday, December 18th, Normal of Waco, Inc. presents San Francisco in Waco at Smoke and Rays in Waco, Texas. For more information, check out normalwacoinc.org. Also on Friday, Kansas City Normal features Funk at the Reggae Dance Summit at 4050 Pennsylvania Avenue, number 150 in Kansas City, Missouri, with live music from Seed Love, Mouth, and special guest Kansas City Normal at the Beaumont Club. For more information, check out kcnormal.org or dial 888-KC-NORMAL. On Saturday, December 19th, Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org with our holiday look back at 2009. For more information, check out live.normal.org. And next week, on Monday, December 21st, Dr. Detroit's Winter Solstice Party is taking place at 18700 Woodard in Detroit, Michigan. Join Michigan Normal there, and for more information, check out minormal.org. And Kansas City Normal will be having their meeting. Check out kcnormal.org for details. Also, in programming for the Daily Audio Stash, there will be no podcasts on December 24th or 25th or December 31st or January 1st in celebration of the holidays. It's a normal shout-out. Yes, I know it's been a while since I've done a shout-out. To be honest, the reason I haven't been doing them is because I'm kind of already deluged by the amount of email I'm getting as is. Now, I've got some interns working on the situation and getting more help so we can process this, but marijuana legalization has become so popular that it's more than one guy can keep up with. But I did want to make this shout-out today to the state of West Virginia and one of our stashers out there, Lee Arnold. He just got published in the Charleston Gazette with a fantastic editorial on why we need to legalize pot, and I just want to encourage everyone in West Virginia who wants to get involved to go to wvnormal.org. Now, they're not an official Normal chapter yet. It's all provisional, but we're letting them use the domain name so that they can get some attention and get some people to form the actual chapter. Lee's been in contact with me, and we're working through the paperwork, so we are soon to have a chapter in West Virginia. Thanks for all the hard work, Lee. And anyone else, if you want to get involved, send me an email to stash@normal.org. Deluged as I am, I will eventually read them all. Got plenty of time over the holidays to catch up on back email. Thanks a lot, everyone.
From Washington, D.C., the belly of the anti-marijuana beast. Season's greetings from Normal staff and the board of directors. To you and yours, this is Alan St. Pierre, executive director of Normal and the Normal Foundation. And I sincerely hope your holidays are both safe and hemp-filled.
Hi, this is Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Strop, wishing you a happy holiday from Normal. Let's use this time with family and friends to rededicate ourselves to ending marijuana prohibition and stopping the arrest of responsible marijuana smokers. Happy holidays.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. New Jersey update, John Wilson trial, MS patient faces marijuana charges. Supporters are being asked to have a strong presence inside and outside the courtroom throughout the trial. If you can help, please contact Ken Wolski, OHAMKRW at AOL.com, or Chris Goldstein, director at normalnj.org, if you'd like to help the effort. The trial is moving with unexpected speed for John Wilson, a New Jersey multiple sclerosis patient who was found to have 17 cannabis plants outside his home last year. A jury was selected, and the trial got underway at the Somerset County Courthouse yesterday. The prosecutor and judge have zealously kept out any testimony regarding medical marijuana or even personal use, arguing the reason why the plants were grown is irrelevant. The state attorney general's office has charged him with the first-degree felony of operating a drug manufacturing facility, a statute originally created to go after cocaine dealers. The Superior Court judge presiding over the trial has barred John and his defense attorney from mentioning to the jury that John even has multiple sclerosis. Supporters held signs in front of the courthouse again today, the third public demonstration for John. State Senators Nicholas Scutari and Raymond Lesniak have asked for New Jersey Governor John Corzine to grant a pardon. They are both co-sponsors of the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, and Senator Scutari is himself a municipal prosecutor in Linden. Their statement requesting the pardon was strongly worded. Quote, "It seems cruel and unusual to treat New Jersey's sick and dying as if they were drug cartel kingpins. Moreover, it is a complete waste of taxpayer money having to house and treat an MS patient in a jail at the public's expense," said Senator Scutari, Democrat of Union, Middlesex, and Somerset. Specifically, in the case of John Ray Wilson, the state is taking a fiscally irresponsible hardline approach against a man who's simply seeking what little relief could be found from the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. Governor Corzine should step in immediately and end this perversion of criminal drug statutes in the Garden State, end quote. Quote, "Without compassion and a sense of moral right and wrong, laws are worth less than the paper they're printed on," said Senator Lesniak, Democrat of Union. "New Jersey's tough criminal drug laws were never intended to be used against patients suffering from chronic and terminal medical conditions. The prosecutors and presiding judge have set up a scenario where Mr. Wilson is no different than a common street thug in the eyes of the law," end quote. Do you live in New Jersey? Please send an online letter right now to Governor Corzine asking for a pardon. Check out the links at our blog at stash.normal.org. Maine working to implement new medical marijuana regulations. From the Bangor Daily News, Augusta, Maine. While the voters approved the citizen-initiated bill to expand access to marijuana for medical purposes last month, a task force established by Governor John Baldacci is struggling to craft a measure that will implement the will of the voters. For example, there is language in the original bill that appears to grant what Attorney General Janet Mills called, quote, "extraordinary rights," end quote, if a person had a card under the law, allowing them to use pot for medicinal uses anywhere at any time. She said that would be a, quote, nightmare, end quote, and would lead to unnecessary litigation. There appeared to be broad agreement on the panel to recommend dispensaries be subject to the same inspection standards as other licensed facilities in the state, but there was disagreement on whether the same inspection standards should apply to an individual growing their own marijuana in their home. But there was broad agreement on recommendations dealing with confidentiality. The general public would not have access to the names of individuals whose doctors have approved their use of medical marijuana, but law enforcement officers would have access to a confidential list of legitimate cardholders. There are several unresolved issues, such as how many marijuana plants an individual should be allowed to grow for their own use. As passed, the measure says 6 plants, but Dan Walker, an attorney representing the group that put the measure on the ballot, suggested that be changed to 6 mature and 6 immature plants to assure a constant supply. I'm interested in the notion that allowing someone to take their medicine anywhere at any time is considered an extraordinary right. Is it a nightmare that my father is allowed to take one of his Vicodin while walking through the shopping mall? Do diabetics self-administering their insulin shots lead to unnecessary litigation? It seems to me that everybody who uses any medicine other than marijuana has this extraordinary right to take their medicine anywhere at any time. Now, of course, I understand that using medical marijuana, if smoked, does infringe on others nearby if they dislike the secondhand smoke and smell. I'm not asking for medical marijuana patients to be allowed to blaze up in typically non-smoking areas. I am asking that they get as much consideration for their medical use of marijuana as we give nicotine addicts for the recreational use of tobacco. Anywhere tobacco smoking is allowed, medical marijuana smoking should be allowed.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
The latest reefer madness about teens, marijuana, and cigarettes. Monday, we brought you the latest figures from the Monitoring the Future survey, which showed that for the first time in the 8th, 10th, and 12th grade, more kids are smoking marijuana than cigarettes. This is due to a dramatic drop in the teen use of tobacco, coupled with a slight increase in teen use of marijuana. Teen use of other drugs has fallen for every illegal substance surveyed but marijuana. So, naturally, the reefer mad prohibitionists are spinning the data as evidence that the marijuana law reform debate is seducing our children.
WHSV Virginia. A recently released survey suggests teenagers are smoking more marijuana. Some experts believe that could be because of the increased use of medical marijuana or the fact that it's readily available. Like cigarettes, marijuana, commonly referred to as weed or pot, is a gateway drug.
Now, I can point you to the surveys showing that teen use of marijuana declined following passage of medical marijuana in each state that did so, and at a rate greater than the national average. The slight uptick over the past 2 years still doesn't counter the fact that teen use is far lower now than before California passed Prop 215 in 1996. But it may be easier to just use their own reefer madness against them. You say marijuana is a gateway drug, yet teen use of all drugs except marijuana has gone down. So how exactly is that gateway working? It seems to me that some may be switching to marijuana instead of other harmful drugs.
Injury Board Blog, Lansing, Michigan. In the survey of 47,000 students, the researchers found that cigarette smoking, binge drinking, and methamphetamine use are down. However, the news on increased marijuana use is discouraging. Furthermore, despite the fact that marijuana is the most popular drug among teenagers, the researchers still found an increase in prescription drug abuse in the students, particularly Vicodin and OxyContin.
So then, is marijuana use the gateway to legal drugs, like Vicodin and OxyContin? Well, I doubt it, since teens are informed enough to know that those drugs flush through your system quickly and won't endanger their spot on the football team, chess club, or student loan application from a random drug test, unlike marijuana. I think the gateway to prescription drug abuse is parents that don't strictly control the access to their prescriptions. I mean, I know parents that will lock their liquor cabinet in the kitchen to protect their kids, but they don't often consider locking the medicine cabinet in the bathroom.
White House Drug Czar Gil Kerlikowske attributes the increase in marijuana use to a lack of education about the dangers of smoking pot. He believes that the alarming trend emphasizes the greater need for parents and authorities to increase anti-marijuana campaigns.
Well, of course he does. Here's the problem. The last anti-marijuana campaigns you guys tried backfired and caused more teens to want to try marijuana. Here's another problem. Smoking pot just isn't all that dangerous. It's not harmless. No mind-altering substance is, but you're not going to overdose, you're not going to have major withdrawal, you're not going to get sick and puke, you're not going to steal to feed your habit, you're not going to become belligerent and harm others, you're not going to fry your brain, you're not going to be poisoning your liver, and you're not going to get cancer. If you want to reduce teen marijuana use, as we do, you can't rely on lies and scaremongering in the age of the Google. Tell a kid that the joint you found in his pocket means a one-way ticket to being an unemployed, cancer-ridden heroin junkie, and three clicks on a computer will make you a liar. Then when you need to tell him or her about the real dangers of other drugs, you have no credibility.
Marietta Times. Warren High School sophomore Tyler Kincaid, age 16, said she has encountered teen drug and alcohol use since she started high school. The national study indicates that a third of all high school students have used marijuana within the past year. Kincaid said on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most dangerous, alcohol would be about a 3, marijuana a 5, and prescription drugs would score a 9. Quote, "We're taught that all drugs are bad, but when it comes to danger, I think most of us think some are more dangerous than others," end quote, she said.
And based on what you've been taught, Tyler, it seems you'd feel safer drinking at a house party than smoking a joint. Teens just like you die every year from binge drinking at parties, but never from smoking a joint. And the all drugs are bad education you've received is going to lead you to more dangerous choices. By the way, I'd give marijuana a 2, prescription drugs a 7, and alcohol an 8. It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Born in Kingston, Jamaica, and raised in Queens, New York, his recording career began at age 16. While Linval Thompson's pioneering career as a reggae singer is well known, the singer's equally storied career as a producer in the roots, reggae, and dancehall arena may not be. The career of Linval Thompson, the producer, also dates back to the mid-70s and includes such standards as Freddie McGregor's international reggae anthem Big Ship, as well as landmark albums by the Viceroys, Meditations, and Eka Mouse, whose song I Love Weed was featured recently on The Stash. His work as both vocalist and producer helped lay the groundwork for the emergence of modern dancehall and reggae. Linval's latest release, 2009's Ghetto Living, marks a return to live rhythm production. Ghetto Living is very much in the classic Linval Thompson vein, a rootsy mix of real-life subject matter and constructive messages. Indeed, Thompson's commitment to the roots reggae music is unbreakable. As he says, quote, "The music from the 70s and 80s is relevant today because it's positive. It's a positive vibe. On Ghetto Living, everything is reality. No gimmicks," end quote. You can hear more of Linval Thompson at myspace.com, Linval Thompson Sound. His music is also available on iTunes. Today's Irie Wednesday Toker tune is I Love Marijuana from Linval Thompson's 1978 LP, also entitled I Love Marijuana.
Marijuana, I love it, my brother. Marijuana in my soul. Marijuana in my heart. Keep the natty dragon.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, NORML hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call NORML Newsmakers.
One of the areas we've been looking at with medical marijuana has to do with the controversial use of medical marijuana for children, even in the states that have approved medical marijuana. Joining me here to talk about this situation is Miko Hester Perez. She's with the Unconventional Foundation for Autism. You can learn more about them at uf4a.org. That's UF, the number 4a.org. Miko, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Well, you've been all over the media lately. We've seen you with Diane Sawyer and some other folks talking about this controversial use of medical marijuana for autism. And this is big news in that autism affects many, many people. We've seen the rates of autism, you know, skyrocket over the past couple of decades. So maybe you could give us just a little bit of background. How has autism affected you in your life, and why did you turn to medical marijuana?
Autism, when my son was diagnosed at 16 months, I knew very little about autism. And thank God that I was a researcher by trade, and I went ahead and I researched, the many facets or variables of the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. And my son was diagnosed with severe autism, and he's nonverbal, and he, just like most children in the spectrum, he was a very picky eater.
Okay.
And I was able to, I was very intuitive with my son, first of all. So I kind of knew what was going to work and what was not going to work. And at the age of 5, he was prescribed certain medications to get in control of his behavior. I mean, living with Joey when he was 5 years old was very, very difficult in our home.
How so?
I was single. I was a single mother with 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting a crash course in autism, dealing with regional centers, dealing with school districts, dealing with the politics of autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I got with a psychiatrist that had no problem prescribing my son certain medications that you and I, as adults, would think were very harmful.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead with the medications, and as a result, At the age of 10, he was diagnosed with anorexia and malnutrition.
So in addition to the problems with eating, what other ways did the autism manifest for your son? Was he acting out, violent, have problems with emotional control? What? Kind of describe that for us.
Yes, the aggression. My son always felt like he was on the edge. Mm-hmm. He always felt like he was one step from being unstable. He was extremely unstable. I mean, I had multiple crisis units in my home. I had behavioral direct intervention. We were all working together to figure out how to control his behavior. At one point, my son would run out of our home. The door would be open. He would dart out into the street.
Oh my.
He would, things that a single mom, you know, I'm trying to hold down the home. Mm. And I had a son that clearly, was in, you know, dire straits. And I think that the prescribed medications, looking back, I think that they did more harm than good.
Oh my. So all sorts of conventional pharmaceuticals you tried on this, may have caused more harm than good. Was he harming himself as well? Was there any sort of violent, to himself?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. He would bang his head. He would bang the walls. He would throw things. He would just like outburst,
okay.
As a crying outburst. And you know, my daughter and I would have to duck and cover.
Mm.
You know, it was clearly a very, very unpredictable state we were in, and we were just doing the best that we could to maintain.
Well, I can imagine you must have felt overwhelmed and frightened and worried about your son to no end. And did these pharmaceutical remedies, you say they caused more harm than good, they didn't do anything to alleviate these symptoms?
You know, in the beginning, and I, you know, looking back, maybe the first year, but he's 5 years old. He's a growing boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the first year, we were experimenting with these class 4 medications, and I believe the law enforcement calls them narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
We were dealing with medications that if you split in half, we would go to jail.
Wow.
So, it didn't really, really hit me until this year, the damage that I can't blame myself. I blame a community that settled with giving their children. There's a whole protocol of these medications.
Sure.
So
these medications aren't working like you would want them to, and I imagine at this point you're probably at your wit's end and you're worried about your child, and then you turn to medical cannabis. What led you to medical cannabis, and were you resistant to the idea at first?
Well, considering my son was 48 pounds and he was not a candidate for a feeding tube, and the medical community, certain pediatricians, could not give me any answers, what was a thought, and I just thought about it. I said, you know, marijuana, I couldn't possibly be the only parent who has, you know, who's about to go online and do search logic for autism and medical marijuana. And as soon as I did that, a very well-known doctor in the autism community, his findings came up, Dr. Bernard Wimlin, and his whole protocol is dietary. And in his findings, he says how this is a healthy alternative to the synthetic pharmaceuticals for our children.
Hmm.
And he goes on and on and on about, you know, being a responsible parent and following this type of protocol. And mind you, I had exhausted all other treatments.
Sure.
And with autism, you know, each child has a different genetic makeup. So what works with mine may not work with, you know, another child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was clearly at the end. And this was, you know, we were 13 medications into finding an alternative.
Hmm. So how long ago did you start this new cannabis therapy, and what was it like on the first day?
Well, we started 7 months ago, and the first day, within the first hour, it was almost nothing short of a miracle. My son has repetitive behaviors. He would go to the refrigerator multiple times, and all of a sudden, he just wanted to sit in his room and play with his toys. We were sitting in the living room, and it was quiet in our home.
Hmm.
And we just stood there, you know, my husband and I, and we said, you know, we're not going to go check on Joey because we've never heard our house be this quiet before. And I got up and I peeped in on him, and he was sitting there playing peaceful. He was calm. And, you know, a lot of people say, or I've heard from a previous doctor that, you know, he was stoned. Well, Joey has a different immune system than the average person due to autism.
Mm-hmm.
The autism attacks the immune system. And so you and I would be high. Joey, for some reason, it balanced him out.
Hmm.
It was the medication. It was a miracle.
You know,
it was a miracle.
I wonder if that's, you know, similar to what we see in kids that have ADD or ADHD, where we give them synthetic speed like Ritalin, where it would be speed to you
right.
and me, but for them it just balances them out.
Right.
Interesting.
And I believe that's what the marijuana did for him. The synthetic. We've tried Ritalin, and my son, as a result of those 13 medications, liver damage, facial tics. My son has never had seizures. He started having seizures.
Wow.
All of these things from these 13 medications, but the one that is the most evident was my son was dying. It seems like once I was able to prove my case to his psychiatrist, the very next day I was on the phone calling a medical marijuana doctor who was willing to take Joey on. I think I went through at least a dozen dispensaries trying to get to a doctor that would understand what I was going through.
So it's been 7 months now that you've been using this. What's it been like for your son now? Has he gained the weight back? How's his health?
He is 38 pounds heavier.
Wow.
And that's in about 6.5 months. He's gained 38 pounds. It's well proportioned. His well-being and health have not been compromised. He is happy. He's healthy. He's it's almost like an awakening. And I'm not sure if it's, you know, refers back to a movie. I forgot the actor's name.
Is there one with Robert De Niro in that one?
Robin
Williams and Robert De Niro in that one movie. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. My son has, it's an awakening for him. I mean, he was nonverbal and never even attempted to speak. Now I have a 1-year-old and he's mimicking the 1-year-old.
Wow.
This clearly, whatever research that needs to be conducted or if research is being conducted, Joey is already the result.
Hmm. Wow, that we need to do more study on this because it's such a miraculous story, but it is laden with a lot of controversy. A lot of people fear this notion of giving medical marijuana to children. What has been some of the backlash that you've received since you've gone public with this and talked about it in the media?
Oddly enough, the backlash is from parents and other people that do not have a child diagnosed with autism.
Hmm.
The autism community, I mean, after the Good Morning America interview, I had received over 300 emails statewide from parents saying, thank you for coming forward, thank you for being our voice, thank you for taking people into our home to see what we have to deal with, thank you for exposing the prescribed drugs that we're giving to our 3-year-old. It doesn't bother me that I am getting backlash from a few people because I want to be able to prove and I want to be able to show them that marijuana has improved the quality of my son's life. You know, I had a mother email me from Texas and say that she was going through exactly the same thing I was going through, except her son died. After reading that email, I knew that it was my purpose and to go around statewide and help these mothers with the Compassionate Use Act.
Wow. It's an amazing story. And I know you're working with this group, Unconventional Foundation for Autism at UF4A.org. What are your plans with that group? How do you plan to spread this message?
I plan to go to the states that aren't, the states that do not have the Compassionate Use Act I plan to go to these states, speak with legislators, speak with parents, get everyone, including the pharmaceutical companies, including the highest level and science and research and with government, and to make medical marijuana an option for our children. I'm not going to settle for another parent sending me an email saying that their son or their child had passed away because we did not acknowledge the Compassionate Use Act of medical marijuana.
Hear, hear. You are an amazing and brave woman, Miko Hester Perez, dealing with autism in an unconventional way, but probably the best way you've found so far. And I truly hope that your message gets out to so many people out there. I personally have two friends, a married couple, who have a son with autism. It's not extremely severe autism, but I do have some awareness of what you're going through. So I applaud you and thank you so much for joining us on the show and helping other people learn about this.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with a reminder that we'll be doing a special live daily audio stash on New Year's Eve, Thursday, December 31st. We're going to go from midnight Eastern time to midnight Pacific time, 3 hours, to celebrate the new year in all the continental time zones. We'll be joined by guests from all across the country at various Normal chapters, and we'll be awarding the 2009 Stashies. Make sure to get your nominations up at the post at stash.normal.org. The voting begins next week. Also, just want to give you a little foreshadowing that we're looking for major changes in the Normal Daily Audio Stash starting in 2010. I can just tell you at this point, you'll be getting an afternoon daily stash guaranteed. And I can't tell you anymore, but you'll be the first to know. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.